next door. Rest of you grab your book, Bibles, in the book of Matthew, chapter 9. We're going to finish off this chapter, and as Jesus is ministering here, we see these great mighty works that takes place as people are coming to him for healing and seeing the power of God in their life. And oftentimes we the things in our lives that will bring us, we talked about this morning how sometimes it's the tragedies in our life that bring us to the Lord. Because sometimes it's, you know, when things are going well, it's easy to think, hey, I got this, right? I don't need anyone, everything's fine. And yet when the tragedies happen and everything comes crashing down around us, we call out to God. And the key is when it's all done is that we turn around to him and say, okay, Lord, you know, I'm going to stick with you. And not just during the good times. But anyway, we talk about the impact and the relation we have with this idea of faith. How faith is an action. You know, it's easy to say, you know, you believe something, but you really don't unless it has an impact on you. You know, you go to the doctor and he said, you know, he's like, oh, well, you got to watch your blood pressure and you got to change your diet. And you're like, yeah. Right? And so I go home and eat like I've always been eating, right? The doctor's words have just kind of bounced off, right? Because I think, well, yeah, either I think I'm immune to it or you know, it's not really going to happen. I'm just kind of focusing on the here and now. But it's interesting that when we have an event and something comes in and pressures us, that all of a sudden that now I'm serious about this. Talked to someone who struggled with giving up cigarettes, and for years they're like, I just can't. Went to the doctor and got a diagnosis of cancer, and all of a sudden, it's amazing how quickly they gave it up. But it's that motivation, and that faith turns into action. If we truly believe something, it leads to an action in our lives. And faith means to absolutely trust in something. You know, it's interesting because we talk about the idea of faith, and there's really two elements of faith. And so as you think of your life and you thought about your walk with the Lord, there's really two elements to that. One is, am I trusting in something that's trustworthy? Right? I was doing a little bit of work around the house a couple of years ago, and I had one of these ladders that you open up and it clicks. Well, I was rushing around and everything. My daughter was out there, and I opened it up, and apparently it didn't click. But I wasn't paying much attention, you know, I just, okay, it looked all right. And so I was doing something else, and I came running through, and I put about one step and two steps, and I kind of ran up the ladder. You know, I wasn't being careful. I just kind of ran up it. My daughter was in there. Well, the ladder, because it didn't click, right, I had all the faith in the world this ladder could hold me. I mean, it was rated for like 500 pounds. I'm not quite that big. Right? So I had full faith that this ladder could hold me. And so I came running up. One, two. Well, the whole thing just went bleh. And I just went boom. And my daughter, the compassionate soul that she is, she laughed and laughed at me as I'm laying there like, ugh. Right? I had all the faith that it was going to hold me. What was the problem? The ladder wasn't trustworthy. It came down to me because I didn't click it, right? But I'm going to blame the ladder, right? You know, we've all done it, right? You ever sat in a chair and said, oh, this is how you plop down with your whole weight, and ever had a chair come up underneath you? It's like, oh, right? So the first part of faith is, what are you putting your trust in? Is it something that's trustworthy? And we see people putting faith in lots of stuff. And not everything is worthy of our faith. And the Lord Jesus Christ is worthy because he is able to do all that he says. The second aspect of faith is, look, okay, here it is. Here's something that's trustworthy. The second part of faith is, do I hang on to it? Right? How secure is my grip onto something? And so in here with the Lord, right, he is trustworthy. He is able to do all that he says. And yet, in my life, there's been times when I hang on to him, I kind of muckle on, and I just, I'm not going to let go. And there's other times where I'm like, and I kind of, right? Years ago, when I was in Bible school, I worked with a garbage company, and we were, you know, picking up garbage, and And we're coming through a place in upstate New York, and it was this really steep hill. And we got in there, and the truck driver was kind of a newer guy. And I don't know much about big trucks, but I know when the driver says, uh-oh, that's not a good sign. And he had tried to shift to go downhill, and he missed the gear, and he couldn't get it in. And so it's like this grinding, and he's panicking. And we're going down the hill. We're going a little bit faster. And he goes, I'm going to bail. And I'm like, I ain't jumping off this truck. You know, this is probably the safest place to be. And he goes, I'm going to bail. And believe it or not, part of the garbage training was they told us, if the truck ever loses control, don't jump out because insurance won't cover that. You got to stay with the vehicle. And so we rode that truck down and ended up going across like three people's backyards. But we did eventually stop. But we were safe in the vehicle, right? I can't imagine, you know, we're going about 50 miles an hour. I don't know what would have happened if I would have jumped out of a vehicle at 50 miles an hour, right? So in this case, right, I put my faith in the truck. The truck was big. It was worthy of that. And then I had to ride it out. And that's the second. Does that make sense? That's the second aspect of faith. As I trust in the Lord, do I hang on to that? Or do I let go? And so we have this aspect of faith coming in here, but it's an absolute trust, and he is trustworthy. The Bible tells us that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. If you want to increase your faith, the best thing you can do is learn more of God's word. What does God say? Right? I'll never leave you nor forsake you. I hang on to that promise. Right? My God shall supply all my needs according to his riches and glory. God will take care of me. These are promises. I can cling unto them. Why? Because I know them. And the more I know of God's word, the stronger my faith is. Because I have more things to hang on to. As I read God's words, I can see God's faithfulness, and I can trust in that. And so starting in Matthew here, we're going to see three aspects of faith, of putting faith into action. The first one is faith in what he can do. What is God able to do? Take a look here in Matthew chapter 9, starting at verse 27. It says, when Jesus departed from there, two blind men followed him, crying out and saying, Son of David, have mercy on us. And when he had come into the house, the blind men came to him. And Jesus said to them, do you believe that I am able to do this? And they said, yes, Lord. And then he touched their eyes and saying to them, according to your faith, let it be to you. And so we see this action. They believed with all their heart that Jesus was able to heal them. And he was. But notice what happens. They're driving by, hey, Jesus, hey, heal us. And Jesus went in the house. You know what they said? Let's go. Right? They kind of sat there in the road and said, oh, well, here it goes, all right. But no, they were determined because Jesus was the answer. He was able to, and by their faith led to action. To what? To go pursue him. Of going where Jesus is. And I tell you, in this world today, that's what we need to do. Say, Lord, I want to go where you are. Right? You know, Lord, don't just come to me. But by faith, if I truly believe that Jesus is the answer, then I want to pursue him and I want to be with him. Amen? And instead of saying, oh, well, here goes Jesus. Bye. I'm going to stay here. And we wonder why things are a mess. I want to be with him. If I truly believe, and I think that's one of those we really need to really ask ourselves, is do I truly believe Jesus is the answer? I love this because he says, according to your faith, right? First he asks, do you guys believe I can do this? They're like, yeah. Let me ask you, in the situation that you're in, do you truly believe that Jesus is the answer? If so, then stick to him. It's really simple, right? I mean, this isn't going to be an overcomplicated sermon this morning. If you truly believe it, you will leave to action. And what happens is like, yeah, Jesus is the answer, right? That's kind of the standard Sunday school answer we have. Oh, yeah, Jesus. But if I don't pursue him, if I don't follow him, I'm not really believing it. And he says, look, and he did according to their faith. And I love this phrase, according to your faith. And this goes down to how hard are you willing to hang on to Jesus? What things in your life are you willing to leave behind and pursue if Jesus is the answer? Yeah, I don't know. Often in Scripture, we talk about some of these ones were beggars, and they begged on the same spot year after year after year. And that's their spot, and it's their comfort zone. And what's sad is oftentimes what happens in our lives is that we're comfortable in our struggle. We get comfortable in that, right? I mean, we've been in that position for so long that we don't know what to do. And we see this. We have folks that will come out of jail and, you know, have led people to Christ in jail, and they're excited and they're in Bible study. Then they get out in the real world and it's hard, and they slip back into the same friends and slip into the same thing all over again. Why? Not because it's the best, but because it's comfortable. And we slide back into that. But if we truly have faith in the Lord, Lord, help me according to my faith. Bless me. And in here, Lord, increase my faith. Matthew says this, and whatever things you ask in prayer, believing, you will receive. This morning we prayed for healing and for supply, and I believe God does that. We can actually testimony. How many times have we prayed for things here and we've seen God answer the prayer? By faith we come to him, asking if he will do it, believing he will. Right? And Lord, answer us according to our faith. And it's funny because we don't always get what we want, or sometimes God answers our prayer differently. James warns us, look, you ask and you do not receive. Why? Because you ask amiss. Right? Lord, dear Lord, help me win the lottery. Which would be a real miracle because I don't play it. But boy, would it be surprised. Oh, Lord, give me $1 million. Woo-hoo. That's a whole lot of buffalo wings right there. Right? The Bible says, I don't have it. Why? Because I ask amiss. Because the Lord knows. I'm thankful I have God who doesn't always give me what I want, but he gives me what I need. And sometimes we look at the situations. We ask, Lord, why is this tragedy happen? And sometimes we don't know. And sometimes it's because God is doing something else. But because I have faith in him, right? Faith doesn't mean that because of my faith, I get whatever I want. But I have faith in him. And so I know God is able, but I know sometimes he doesn't. And if he doesn't, he's got a good reason for it. So, Lord, according to my faith. And then we talk about the idea of believing, right? We ask, and Lord, we will receive. But we got to realize, first of all, is it part of your plan? Right? I don't know what God is doing. I don't know why all these things are happening. But, Lord, I pray and I lay down my request to him. But at the end of the day, Lord, I want your plan to play out. And you can use these things for good. We see this out in Scripture. We have Joseph, whose brothers hated him and threw him in the pit. They're going to kill him. And then they're going to sell him off into slavery. And he was off. He ended up in prison. All these things. And you say, wow, Joseph, that was a horrible life you lived. And yet God used all these things to put him in a position where next thing you know, he's second in command in Egypt. And by his own testimonies, he told his brothers, you meant this for evil, but God meant it for what? Good. All things work together for good of those. As we follow the Lord, he will work these things out for good. And trust in his plan. We believe that things are according to his what? Will. When we say we ask this in Jesus' name, amen. Right? The reason why we say in Jesus' name, because we're asking what he would ask. Right? Lord, am I asking what you want according to your will? And sometimes God's will is yes, and sometimes God's will is no, and sometimes God's, probably the hardest one, is God's will is for us to wait. I hate waiting. I want to know now. Right? And sometimes it's wait. And Lord, I'm going to trust in you, and I'm going to believe in your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Do you believe that? even though you don't know what's all going on and the pressures and all this, but God's will be done. That's faith. And the last one is according to his time. And God's timing isn't ours. And sometimes God works slower than we do. Actually, sometimes God moves quicker than we do. But Lord, I believe in your time. And Lord, help me. And I believe that you can do what you want, what you can do. And we bring this request, believing you will answer it. But Lord, I want it to be according to your will. I want it to be according to your plan. And Lord, I want it to be according to your time. And that's hard. Because sometimes I'm just like a spoiled little kid in Walmart. And I want it, and I want it now. Lord, help me. Produce in me patience. Lord, help build in me trust. And I believe some of you probably right now are in a position where God just says, trust me. And maybe you're wrestling with that. God says, trust me. I'm in control. And I'm able to do it. But show your faith. Second thing we look at here in this passage, we have faith in who he is. Look in Matthew chapter 9 again. We have another account. It says, as they went out, behold, they brought to him a man mute and demon-possessed. And when the demon was cast out, the mute spoke, and the multitudes marveled, saying, we've never seen like this in Israel. And I find it interesting because the first one, these blind men for themselves, right? They came to Jesus. And here, they had their faith. Here, we have faith of others. That we have this one who is in a bad position. He's demon-possessed, and because of that, he's not able to talk. And so he doesn't seek out, but someone else comes in his stead. And by their faith, he gets healed. And folks, this is a ministry I think all of us can have as Bible believers. Of, you know what? Ask someone, can I pray for you? And you can stand in the gap. I found it interesting, a little while ago, we were talking to someone, and he was dealing with some health issues. And I said, do you mind if I pray for you? I add you to my prayer list. And he goes, well, I'm not a person of faith. I said, that's okay, I am. And I said, my faith, I'm going to stand in the gap for you. And he kind of looked at me kind of weird. And I'm asking God will do a great thing in his life. Because I have faith in that. And we have a ministry of faith that we can bring people to the Lord. We can stand in the gap with them. We can pray for them. And just as these people did, they brought this person who couldn't help themselves to Jesus. Lord, help me to bring people to you. Right? Help me to bring people to the Lord. I want that testimony. And they're all marveled. They said, wow, we've never seen anything like this. It's interesting because the Pharisees in verse 35 says this. But the Pharisees said, you cast out demons by the rulers of demons. Right? They couldn't explain what was going on. So they're like, well, the devil did it. Oh, this guy's wicked. And they're all like, no, this isn't an evil work. But much like any other politician, you know, start throwing any mud to see what will stick. Because you got to write it off somehow. And the difference between these ones is that they chose not to believe who Jesus was. And I choose to. And he is the Son of God. Who has come to earth, who died on the cross for my sins, who was buried and rose again on the third day according to the scriptures. He ascended on high and he gone to prepare a place for me. I believe in who he is. And I pray and I know that he hears me. This is the God I serve. And a lot of people want to excuse it as so many other things. Broke my heart. I was talking to a gentleman who was struggling through them things. And we were talking about Jesus, and I said, well, do you believe that Jesus is God? He goes, oh, well, you know, I believe he's a good teacher, and he's a good example, but I don't believe that he's God. I said, you're missing the point. There's a lot of good teachers out there. There's a lot of good philosophers, all that. But they're not going to save you. But Jesus is who he says he is. The Bible says in Hebrews that without faith it is possible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Faith leads to action. If I truly believe that he is the Son of God, then I'm going to come to him. If I believe he's the way to salvation, I'm going to throw myself down at his feet and say, Lord, forgive me, a sinner. Because I believe in who he is. And it should have an action in your life. The last part I want to look at this morning is in Matthew verse 9, starting at verse 35, that faith in his mission. He says, when Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion for them, because they were wearied and scattered like sheep having no shepherd. And he said to his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Therefore pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. And I think this is one of those most challenging things because it forces me to get out of my bubble. As I look around this world, you know, I don't let you, I watch the news, I get angry. I'm one of these guys that will yell at the TV. Know you do that? Now, I'm not a sports person, so this is probably the closest I have because I've seen, you know, some of you crazy sports people yell at your, you know, yell at the TV and stuff because they can't hear you. And I'm like, you guys are nuts. I do it to the TV. And I'm like, hey, that's not right. And I get all angry. My blood pressure goes up. My wife's like, you know, you probably ought to turn that. Why? I'm fine. But as I watch all these things, Lord, change my perspective because these people are lost. People are scrambling for acceptance and searching for love, and trying to find it in every place except for God. And what that should do in us is really stir not an anger, but a compassion. And I'm working on that. Lord, help me feel compassionate for these people. I don't agree with them. They're on the wrong path. And often what they're doing is harmful, but they don't know better. They don't have the Lord. And Lord, fill me with compassion. And Jesus is here and he's healing. He's doing all these things and the crowd just keeps coming. And imagine in the middle of all this, people, you know, everyone's probably rejoicing. Oh, look, people are being healed and sicknesses are going away. And look at all this. And woo-hoo, they're all excited about being caught up in all this. And imagine in the middle of all this, Jesus just kind of stops and looks at them all. See, the problem isn't that they need healing. Now, they needed healing, but that wasn't their problem. The problem was that they were lost. They're lost. And Jesus just looks at them and with compassion in his heart. Tells the disciples, look. He goes, do me a favor. He goes, pray. Pray that the Lord of the harvest will send people. Faith leads to action. If I truly believe that people are lost and going to hell, then I'm going to reach out and try to save them. Not that I save them, but I have the message of salvation. I have the life raft that I can throw out to them. Throw out the line. If I truly believe is what they need is Christ, then I need to offer it to him. And Jesus says, pray. The Lord of the harvest went out laborers into his harvest. And as Christians, we often become so complacent and so wrapped up in our own lives that we don't realize the message and the reason why we're still here. In Luke, Jesus says this, for the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost. Jesus looked in this world and saw it lost. And he looked down and said, all those poor little guys, Jesus saw that and by compassion came and died. His compassion led to his action. That's faith in action. Jesus tells us in Matthew 5, he says, "You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand to give light to all those who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men, they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven." In here, if truly we believe what the scripture says, then we should be filled with compassion to go tell people and share the good news with them. That we should be lights to show the way. And oftentimes what happens in my own life, if I'm a lighthouse, often I'm redirecting that light to my own self. When I should be shooting a beam across this world. And each one of us has a ministry. We're here for a reason. You know, years ago, a lady asked us, "How do I know God's not done with me?" Because you're still here. When God's done with me, or I'm of no use here on earth, he'll take me home. But until then, he has called me for a purpose and for a cause. You have a purpose and a cause. The book of Ephesians talks about the church and some of the purposes of the church. And he says this, Ephesians 4. "And he himself gave some to be apostles and prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers." Right, we see these things that God has given a leadership, people to teach us, people to train us. Why? For the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Now, my job as a pastor is to teach you how to minister. Right? You always say, "Well, you're the minister." I have people say, "Oh, you're the minister of the church up there." Well, I guess I minister here. And I have a ministry here. But part of that ministry is to equip you to be used by God. So I ask you, what is your ministry? Right? I'm not saying that all of you are called to be preachers and teachers, right? God says he gave some of those abilities. But all of us have a ministry that we can be used. And as we're in that, we grow. And God gives us more. But what is your ministry? There's so much that can be done. There's so much. You know, God hasn't just called a handful of people to do it all. And each one of us, if we fulfilled, and I don't know what your role is. I don't know what God has called you to do. And sometimes it's just a willingness. Okay, Lord, here am I. Use me. And so much could be done. If each one of us can say, "You know what, Lord, I'm going to serve you." And in this case, he talked about the edification of the body, for the body of Christ. If we truly believe that Christ has come, and we truly believe that he is the message for the world, that in here, that each one of us has a purpose and a cause, God has called us for ministry. What's your ministry? Faith in action. Hear my Lord, use me. Do I believe in who he is? Do I believe in what he can do? Do I believe in his mission? All these things require faith. And that faith needs to be put into action. Lord, here am I. Use me. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for your word and who you are. Lord, help me not to trust in other things, Lord. The things of this world are unreliable. They will let us down. Only you are worthy of our trust and faith. And Lord, help me to cling to you and stay close to you and do what you want. Lord, help me put my faith into action to serve you. In whatever way you ask, so we can carry on your mission here on earth to seek and save the lost. We ask this in your name. Amen.